Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 163, recorded on January 18th, 2018. On tonight's episode, we're just going to play with cardboard and see what we can make. And we're probably going to talk about some Nintendo stuff too. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is January 18th, 2018. Joining me tonight from the Irish land. I don't know what accent that was. Justin Masson, what's going on, Justin?
Nothing much. I think that might actually be slightly
racist?
Offensive, yeah. I guess is the word I would say there.
I don't know what it is.
Doing well. I'm on my second cup of tea. We just finished a wonderful conversation with Mr. Jules Watson.
Yeah, we did.
From TUI Studios, which was fantastic. Almost an hour and a half with him. We're going to put that as a separate episode altogether. But man, it was hot. It was awesome. Love hearing what that guy's got going on. So hot like my cup of tea. But you know who's also hot like a cup of tea? With two lumps of sugar, Mr. Jesse Waldeck. How are you, sir?
Sweet. Don't you hate it when your medication kicks in and you get all warm? And I hate that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what?
Speaking of a man who I hope is warm.
And the funny part is you all think I'm joking. No, that's really happening to me right now.
You're looking quite red, actually. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe it's the camera lighting.
No, it's the medication I just took.
Do you want to style 9-1 and just have the other one ready, just in case we need to?
I've been doing this for 7 years, so I'm
okay.
In about an hour, this will be back to normal.
Okay. Speaking of a man who we hope is warm and out of the frosty tundra that is his home, Mr. Marty Estes. Marty, what's going on, buddy?
Guys, I'm just gonna be honest with you. I'm really glad to see you guys tonight.
Because I
didn't know if we were gonna make it here in West Tennessee.
You have been frozen homebound for like a week.
Yeah. Last week we recorded the show. I headed home and about 2 a.m. like it started, and literally I was in my house from Friday until Monday and could not get out. And look, you guys may laugh at that.
How much snow was there? Just out of curiosity.
Canadian. Because it was probably like 3 or 4 inches.
Okay, cool.
But now here's sorry, the thing. There was a lake.
I know
there
he
was
comes
a big
across
layer
as super arrogant,
under that.
And I don't want to be like that.
That's rough.
And you know, we don't here in the primitive South. We don't have a lot of plows, and we know nothing of this salt wizardry.
To be fair, Marty, that's actually very similar to here in Ireland. Basically, if they get any snow, it like shuts the country down. Like they don't know how to functionally operate. It's like, classes are canceled. And I'm like, there's barely any snow here. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. When I actually came here, I said, do I have to get winter tires for my vehicle? And they laughed at me. Like winter tires. We don't have those here. Why would you have those in winter tires? I was like,
it's like, you know, the ones that they put the metal spikes in, right? Like,
they assumed I put chains on my wheels of my vehicle.
And so just like to the timeline, Thursday night, we got all, you know, overnight into Friday morning, we got all of this frozen precipitation and snow. And then like all of the ice happened overnight. And then at like 8 o'clock that morning, it changed over to snow, and it snowed from 8 o'clock in the morning until like 6 o'clock in the evening. Literally the biggest snowflakes I've ever seen in my life.
It was beautiful. I saw your video.
It was like out of a Hallmark movie.
It was cool.
You know, so then by Monday, it had barely melted off enough that we could like comfortably get out.
Yeah.
So we went out for supplies, came back, and then Monday night it snowed again. Another 2 to 3 inches.
That's mad. And
so our kids here, local kids, have been out of school for 6 days.
Wow.
Of course, Monday was Martin Luther King Day, and so they got out of school. So, but like a 6 day stretch.
That's crazy.
And so, to let you guys know, conditions like it's still icy on my road, which is why I told y'all I may not be on the show tonight. But hey, here I am. I brave the elements for you and our Nintendo Dads fans.
See,
you're awesome.
You see what he does for you people out there. It's awesome. Well, we're happy that you made it.
And for those of you that are totally missing it, Marty, that's also a killer Mega Man T-shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You want me to tell you where I got it?
Sure, that's a good plug.
Here, let's do that. Is that better?
Yeah, it's great.
It's a Ripped Apparel exclusive. So if you didn't get it on the day it was available, it's gone.
I love shirts like that, man. It's super cool.
Yeah.
And when awesome. I saw it, like, I've missed every Mega Man show or Mega Man shirt they've done over the last, year or so. And when I saw it, I was like, it's just put it in the cart.
Yeah, most of my T-shirts come from Ripped Apparel.
In fact, it was shown. It was, and I forget who this is. So if it's you, I'm sorry, but it was actually linked to me by a fan of the show. So
yeah, it wasn't me. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Whoever it was, I've slept since then. So
there was one a few days ago that I really wanted to get, but I passed on it. It showed the three Decepticon jets in kind of in pixelated artwork that says Robots in the Skies.
Ah, yeah. I saw that one. Almost bought it.
And I have the other two blanking at me.
I was...
It's a twist on Robots in Disguise. They don't
get it.
Yeah. All right. Listen, people, we got so much stuff we got to talk about, and it's already like super... We got stuff to do. I'm going to be that guy and hit the button. I'm hitting this button, and then we're going to talk about cardboard. Are you ready? All right, go.
Do it.
Do it. Get the cardboard.
All right. And, of course, the news is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as $1 a month, you can go over and give us money, and then we will continue to do what we do because...
Yep.
Money makes the world go round, people. That's how it works.
Hey, and you know what? We got 2/3 of the way to my challenge from last week.
Oh?
You know, I challenged people, 3 new patrons by this week.
Hey.
Well, we had 2 new people sign up this week, and just, you know how we do. We share the names of new patrons just as a thank you for supporting us here on the show. And so we want to shout out Sean Allen and Jordan Duncan for becoming our newest patrons over at patreon.com. Thanks so much. You're awesome.
You guys are amazing. Right on. So today we're going to get into the news here. And basically, Nintendo announced a thing. When did they announce the thing? The day that it was going on, right?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Was it really only yesterday?
Sorry.
Five Eastern.
As people hear this, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. So it really was Tuesday morning, the 17th. They announced that there was going to actually Nintendo Japan and Nintendo of Europe announced this. Nintendo of America didn't announce anything.
Oh, no, they did. It was Wednesday. Only on their Facebook page, though.
See, Nintendo, this is why.
I don't understand why they didn't put it on Twitter.
If you guys want to have somebody managing your social media, I don't know. Well, anyways.
Call me.
Yeah, there you go. Justin knows this business. So basically, they announced that there was going to be some creative thing. I made some predictions. Everybody made predictions. Instead, I don't think anybody saw this coming. Nintendo,
a few people got close to what, but if you really stretch the meaning of what they were saying,
yeah. So basically, what we have is Nintendo Labo was announced, and I'm a fan of the music. Nintendo, in fact, I was gonna do this. I was thinking of making a video of this, and then I was like, no, nobody cares. But it seems like Nintendo's trailers lately all have the similar sort of beat. You know, there's always like the initial sort of like close-up shot. Here's a little thing to get your curiosity going. What's going on? Then all of a sudden, it kind of makes sense. You're like, oh, wait a minute, what? And then like hit the montage fast-paced reel where they blow your mind and then it ends, right? Like that seems like that's exactly what the Switch trailer was too. And this is
that's totally not where I thought you were taking your comments.
Yeah. So basically
what I thought you were going to say was, and I will say this, I appreciate whoever is in charge of the music, because since the original like Imagine Dragons Switch commercial, they have been absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
As far as like music selection.
Here we go.
Like total earworms that get stuck in your head.
This video is number two trending on Nintendo. It's been viewed 5.6 million times already. 187,000 thumbs up, 21,000 thumbs down. Fairly positive. You wouldn't know this by judging on the Nintendo Voice Chat Facebook group, but fairly positive reception overall. I'm really excited about this, and I don't really like. Let's just kind of go around the circle talking about this. I think we can give a little detail. So basically, it's Nintendo getting into the maker space, right? Like, that's how I really am seeing this more than anything else. Is it's getting into Nintendo, getting into makers, getting into the STEM sort of area. Which, if you don't know what STEM is, it's science, technology, engineering, and
mathematics.
There you go. I was going to say machinery, but I knew that was wrong. And I think it looks great. Like, it's just like we've bought in a couple of those little like DIY science kits you can get, you know, like build like a little, we bought one for my son that was like a little, it was like a little robot kit that had like a little solar panel and a little vibrating motor, and you could build all sorts and like little hinges and stuff, you know? They're cool. And I think kids like that, like, it's the kind of thing that as a parent I want to buy for my kid, because I, you know, they're like educational but also fun, and they're like hands-on, all that stuff, right? So I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to doing this with my kids for sure. So I don't know, let's go around the horn, so to speak. Jesse, what about you? Let's start with you, man. Like, how are you feeling about this?
Overall, I'm liking it. And I would probably buy the variety kit when it comes out, but I'm not. And as I said on Twitter, I understand the pricing, but that doesn't mean I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I initially made a joke saying that, oh, that's expensive cardboard. And then someone replied, oh yeah, it does include a game. Remember? I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's got a cartridge. Right. It comes with the cartridge. Yeah. I think people are forgetting that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where a lot of the money is coming from. The cardboard itself is, I'm sure, is not all that pricey, but they said they will have, like, you know, or could may have replacement cardboard kits.
Which, so I actually found this. Here. So there was originally yesterday, an article on Nintendo Life, and it has an update. So the original article headline says Nintendo confirms. I guess that's the new headline. So the update says, following on from post earlier in the day, Nintendo has since clarified its stance on additional cardboard design patterns. IGN France, which originally reported the support for such a long-term feature, reports that Nintendo won't be providing additional cardboard patterns for those that wreck the originals that come with their Toy-Con set.
They won't be?
They will not be. So, and that says, so avoid getting them too soggy. So, I'm still going to go out there and just say, you know what, if it's really that big of a concern, feel free and, just download, guaranteed there's going to be patterns online that you'll be able to print and download still, you know, like, even if it's not from Nintendo, literally go and find a picture of it, or heaven forbid, even, keep those little cutouts, you know, keep the cutouts that it comes with that you punch out of, and get another piece of cardboard, lay it on top, stencil it out, cut it out, whatever. Right. Like you're going to be able to do that still. I don't think it's as big of a concern as people are making it out to be.
It may not have the pre-folds in place. Make it a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
Maybe. I imagine these will have to be pre-folded and just like they're pre-stamped.
Maybe, but honestly,
I think the big deal that people are making it out to be is that it's a paper product. Mm-hmm. It's a paper product marketed to kids, and paper products do not last as long as others.
Yeah.
Now I love this product.
Designed to work with a $300 console that is handheld. I totally get
why they're making it out of cardboard.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Plastic and wood would be too flimsy and would splinter and break. And metal would be a disaster because then you'd have big sharp edges. But I get the cardboard thing. And it's like I told somebody earlier, they're not making this out of pizza boxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
it's big.
It's going to be good quality cardboard.
In fact, if you, and the thing is too, is if you look at some of these designs and even some of the different pieces, and I read a couple of articles as well today that went hands on, anywhere that it seems like, ooh, there's a weakness in this design here. There's like a soft point in like a hinge or something, or like on the backpack, for example, it actually has two pieces of cardboard that overlap in areas where it's like, ooh, this is a weak spot here. And so they actually reinforce the weak spots too. So there's they're aware of the cardboard thing, but it's, I just don't think it's as big of a concern as people are making it out to be. But yeah, anyway.
So my son saw the video. I linked him the video and he completely ignored it and saw it from because of a friend showed him in school today. But his thoughts are similar to mine. He would like to get the variety kit just to put it together, but probably wouldn't get a lot of play with it.
Yeah.
It would just be, you know, put the pieces together and be added to my collection on the shelves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like looking at the variety pack, for people who haven't watched it, what are you doing? Go watch the video. But the variety pack comes with the little robot thing, the little vibrating robots, the house, which my daughter was insanely excited about. By the way, if you want to see like a kid's reaction to the video, to what's going on over there, my kid's eyes just lit up with this. Like, you can watch it and you just kind of see them like, oh my gosh, wow, right? Like, they're really excited about it. So I think that there's a lot of stuff here. So anyways, there's the robots, the little house, the fishing rod, the motorcycle, and the piano. And that's all in the variety pack. Out of those five, I would say ones that I'll probably play more than a few. Actually, you know what? Now that I say it, like, my daughter will probably play with the house quite a bit because that's kind of her thing, right? She was really excited about that. It looked like it.
What is the house even supposed to do?
It looks like a virtual pet sort of thing. So like, you've got like a little pet that lives in the house and you've got different things that you can put into the bottom or the sides of the house in order to interact with your pet. And play.
Yeah, like sometimes it's a crank, sometimes it's a wheel, sometimes it's like a button you push.
Yeah, and yeah, so like, and for like, example, you can
jump rope with it. That's the one that I am like most kind of about, because like the design of it makes it look like when you get the Switch tablet in it, that it's going to be hard to remove from the house.
All of these, though, like, they seem to have different removable elements to it. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, take the little top panel off, slide it in, put it back on. Like right. I wouldn't be surprised if that works that way. Same with the fishing rod.
Which makes sense, because they don't want the Switch to accidentally fall out when kids pick it up and move it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, that I, like, maybe we need to mention, Zach. I saw you tweet this today. The piano takes 2 hours to build.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's
so it's not like fold tab A, fold tab C, insert in PC. Okay, you're done.
Well, apparently like my understanding of it is that the inside part of it is you build all the little individual keys, but also I'm like, there may be rubber bands underneath so that like, it's not just like crappy little piano.
It's because like the keys snap back when you let go.
The keys snap back, so exactly.
It's got to have some tension in there to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the variety kit on the official Labo site shows two large rubber bands plus spares, so they're accounting for breakage, and six small rubber bands plus spares. And then, you know, your standard cardboard sheets, which there's 28 cardboard sheets in the variety pack, three reflective sticker sheets, three sponge sheets, one orange string, one blue string, and a set of gray eyelets and a set of blue eyelets, and then the rubber bands. So, I mean, you're actually getting a lot of material.
Yeah.
As well.
And I
plus the game.
I listened to, and that's the thing too, right? I listened to Josh and like over at Nintendo Beyond, his talk with Roger about this whole thing. And one of the things that Roger made a point of is if you go to Michael's right now, or, you know, some craft store, and you go and buy a kid a craft kit, those things are $50, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not cheap. And so for this, plus to come with the game cartridge, which we know are not necessarily the cheapest things to manufacture compared to other things of its size and like comparability, plus the software that goes with it, like $70 is not a terrible price. Same thing going
coming
with,
from a household where I have a daughter who wants all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for Christmas she got a sewing machine, and it came with, and like we bought her an extra little kit to do with it, and some clay for the clay wheel she already has. That was all combined was $70.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. So like with this, like you do the kit, you use the clay, then you have to go buy more. Here you take the cardboard and you assemble it, and then you play.
Yeah.
So there's more to it, you know. And you know, I know that looking at it from like the dad side, and I know we kind of have a unique angle on this because quite frankly, we're not sitting around whining like a bunch of butthurt man children.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo decided to play with cardboard. Looking at you, Nintendo voice chat forums. Oh my gosh.
You gotta mute. You gotta go in there less because you look like somebody on shell shock.
I had to turn off the internet today.
Yeah.
I had a whole rant prepared, but all I'm going to say is voice shut up. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Here's the deal.
Like crazy. Looking at it from the dad perspective. Yes, I get like, I'm a little nervous about where am I going to keep all this stuff? You know, where is it going to go? Yeah. How am I going to keep it from getting, you know, broken or whatever that, and I get like people are saying that, and I'm just going to say this and you can rebuke it or whatever. Dads and moms, that's our job.
Yeah, exactly.
Teach your kids how to use their stuff. Don't just build this and go, well, there you go. Sit down and have an experience with your children and use this the way it was intended to be created to be used. I think it's brilliant.
Like in my mind, it honestly is like for people who are like, oh, well, it's just cardboard and like it's going to get wrecked. It's like, this is a great opportunity to have them to sit, like you're saying, Marty, sit down with them, you know, teach them the joy of putting self together and making something with your hands and the whole tactile feel of it, having pride of, and then have that be a huge lead right into pride of ownership. How do you be responsible with things? Where do they go? Provide them with a place to put it. And then if it gets destroyed by the little baby that's running around the house, guess what? Now you get to teach them about natural consequences, right? Mm-hmm. We can't get another one. We're going to have to repair the one that we have. And like, I have no problem with that whatsoever. If you're worried about like the robot kit, for example, I may build the entire thing and immediately reinforce the entire outside shell of that backpack with duct tape. You know what I mean? Like there's no reason you can't do that. I
completely agree.
Right. Like I don't care. And you freaking go in there and get like a little pieces of, and I'm actually really excited for this is get a kit like this. And then immediately you're going to get like the makers in the world or whatever that then go and take this, like the little house, for example, and get the exact dimensions of everything that it would need. Go and build one out of wood. Go build one out of whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the dimensions at this point. It's still going to work if you make something else that's exactly like it. That's where I'm really excited.
Another thing that I loved about this from the teaser video, or I guess the intro video, is that the robot and the variety pack are not the only ones.
Oh, you
they showed at least 5 or 6 more that have nothing to do with the variety pack and the robot kit.
I mentioned those things in the notes further down.
There was a camera. There was a bird.
A pump action shotgun.
Yes. Yes.
A steering wheel with a brake pedal.
And you know,
actually goes with the motorbike. Just so you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what
one of the
heard,
best
I've
tweets that I saw yesterday, and I'm hoping for this. Actually, I immediately just I went yes. Was somebody who said, Is it just me, or does anybody else see the connection between Labo and the new Yoshi title that's coming down the pike?
Can you imagine?
Oh,
can you imagine if they do something like that, where you get like a little, they have like a little diorama kit that you could then, yeah, that'd be awesome.
I guess the thing that makes me most excited about this is that the possibilities for it are pretty endless.
Yeah.
It's limited by Nintendo's crazy imagination, which, you know, like, I guess my problem with people complaining about this is it's not like Nintendo has not catered hardcore to their core gaming market for an entire year, which they have. And this is not what people have to understand is that Labo is not in any way taking away from anything else in development.
Yeah.
Nintendo is not stupid enough to like take one of their like greatest dev teams and be like, "Hey guys, we want you to go into the warehouse and get all the Wii U's we didn't sell and use those cardboard boxes and make a game with it."
Yeah.
I mean, there's the fact that this is so good. I mean, Nintendo is going to do it and they're going to do it right. But I mean, on the other hand, we're getting games.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody was like complaining, like, what's going to happen to the games? Were they not going to make any games? These are the same people who weeks ago were saying, we're drowning in games. We've got too much to play. Which is it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. Like, go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah. I think I commented with, when we had, Jules on, I'm not sure if it was recorded or pre-show, but, you know, as Marty said, Nintendo's been doing things for the main Nintendo audience, basically the same Wii U audience. That was pretty much the only thing Wii U sold to was the big Nintendo fans, it seems like. So the Switch has already been taken over by the Wii, all the Wii U people already bought Switches. So then now they need to find new people to sell it to keep, and this is how they're doing it. This isn't your designed for the people who already have a Switch. This is trying to get more Switches sold.
I realize this crowd. This may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but if you guys remember when the iPad first came out and people were like, what is that? It's just a big iPhone.
My first thought was, this is cool. I probably want one, but I don't know what I would do with it.
Exactly. And a lot of people said, I remember a lot of people like writing reviews or writing, opinion pieces about the iPad, and they said something like this. It's cool. It's a great idea. We don't know what we'll do with it, but I'm sure there's more to come down the pike.
Yeah.
I'm sure one day that it will be worth the purchase. And I think that, like, you look at the fact that Nintendo just took their flagship system that has just sold like freaking gangbusters for 9 months or 10 months and has made it now not just a gaming device, but also something you could bring into a school system setting.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well,
or bring it into an educational setting as well. It's genius.
That's the thing too that we haven't mentioned yet is that this is programmable. In the video, it shows that you can basically create your own. Like, it shows a little thing where it's like it looks like a drag and drop programming sort of setup where it says, okay, touch this here, and then you tell it to vibrate the right Joy-Con, right? And so like you could create your own sort of setup here. Where you're just telling it you're telling it what to look for, or you're giving it an input and an action, all that sort of programming stuff. That's really cool. Especially for a kid, like for my son, one of the things that he said, and I don't know if this is, whatever, but he has said that I'm going to make video games when I grow up. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is what you're going to have to do. And like, let's get him into programming. Let's see if he's actually interested in this. Right. And so like, this is for him. He may end up sitting down and making his own sort of little programs and whatever, right? Like, that's super cool. I really like that idea. So,
and I'll just mention this too, like about, like you were talking, you did the video Zach, mm-hmm. with your kids, mm-hmm. right? And that was awesome watching their reaction. Like, I have a son who is a hardcore gamer. Like, he loves video games. He'll play anything. As long as it's on a screen, he's going to play it. On the other hand, I have my daughter who we have to tell, get out from in front of the TV because you're doing too many cartwheels in front of the TV. I can't see my game.
Yeah.
You know, put down the ribbons, stop dancing, you know, different things like that. And like, she plays, you know, an occasional round of Mario Kart. She'll play Jackbox games with us and she plays Just Dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the announcement trailer came out, like, my son was right there. So we watched it the minute it dropped and he was like, that's really cool. And so I called my daughter in there though. And I was like, I want you to watch this because she's our crafter. You know, that's mm-hmm. what she does. She makes things all the time. She's always drawing or painting. I said, I want you to watch this. And so like, I watched her as the video played and she just got more and more into it. And then that moment came where they started drawing on it.
Yeah.
You know, or they started coloring it and started putting stickers on it. And she's like, you can
color it. I like that too.
You can color it. You can make it your own. And like, immediately she turned to me and she's like, Daddy, I want this. You know, I was thinking, how cool is it that maybe we get to have this like, you know, father daughter special moment, whatever, but it's around a video game.
Yeah. You know? It's funny too, like, I, knowing myself as well, I also am kind of knowing going in, I'm going to be like, if anybody here has seen the Lego movie, my wife calls this my Lord Business side, right? Where it's just sitting down and like, I know sitting down with my kids is going to be like, all right, everyone, let's sit down. Let's do this. And like, whoa, wait, what are you doing? Whoa, wait, hang on. Wait, like, do the seam right. What are you doing? Like, don't mess this up. And like, I know that I'm going to have to be like, okay, this is for my children and I get to facilitate a great experience for my children. This is not mine. Right. Like,
I'm not a good facilitator, Zach.
Right. Like, maybe Daddy will build the robot kit separate by himself. Nobody's going to touch it. And then I will, now, you know what I mean?
But be honest, you want to build the robot kit all by yourself.
I do. Yeah. We might buy two. No, no, we won't buy two because it doesn't look like it doesn't look
like this is your robot.
Yeah.
That's our new Patreon levels. Watch Zach play the robot game with his kids.
Oh, dude.
Building the cardboard set.
Actually, you know what? That's actually, I actually thought about that. I am totally, when we actually do build some of these, doing like time lapse sort of things, you know, like, and then I think that there's a lot of potential there too for like showing off the customization and all of the, again, the DIY customization part of this. I think we're going to be surprised at the creativity that comes out of this for sure.
Maybe a whole new series of videos for with the kids, actually.
Yeah. Lord Business presents.
I love that we're having a production meeting right now about it.
Yeah.
Cardboard dads.
But again, Justin, what about you, man? Like, how are you feeling about it? Did you show this to your girls?
I did. I showed it to him yesterday morning because it dropped here at 10 p.m. So they were fast asleep. So I said, hey, guys, there's this thing I want to show you. So I got them up and, you know, yesterday morning, I put the Switch in front of them as they were having their breakfast. And I, you know, we used the Joy-Cons and got the video and watched. And I was like, okay, guys, go ahead. And they kind of sat there for 2 minutes and they're like, huh, so it's cardboard? Yeah. To make stuff? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Now, in all fairness, they had like just woken up, right? Like, the hair is still halfway across their face and like drool's coming out and they're trying to shove cornflakes in their trap before going to school. But I do think, like, I think, you know, my youngest, Morgan, who's very into crafts and coloring, you know, definitely was very drawn to the house.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's going to be a huge thing. So they were very definitely very interested. And, you know, they were saying like, so are we getting this? So I think they're going to really like it. I think it's right up their alley. And it's funny. They're like, oh, did you see there's a game cartridge with it? And they're like, so what's all in the game cartridge and what games are there and what do you do? So they were really, very engaged with it. And I think it's a very interesting play. you know, I had to laugh. Their Nintendo UK is hosting a kind of a gathering in London for about 5 days. And on the press or on the website about it, it says you do have to have a child to attend this, and they have between the ages of 7 and 12. So
that's
awesome. Nintendo knew exactly what they were doing there. But I think it's interesting. It's gonna be great fun. I think it goes back to the idea of like it's a bonding experience.
Yep.
Right. We've talked about here having bonding experiences with games together, like whether it's Party Planet or whether it's Jackbox or whether it's Snipper Clips and Mario Kart. It's all about party. It's all about experiences together. But I think this is just a lovely combination of again, that STEM and that crafting and time together, right? And I think that's a real win there, right? Yeah. It's just being able to say like, and you get to kind of combine it together. Now, I do think there's just some risk of, $300 device in cardboard, right?
Yeah.
Right? There's some, like, I watched the video again. I'm like having little small panic attacks as I watch things happen.
I'm sitting here thinking I across behind my computer here is a bin full of Lego, and I am excited to like give my son a little like you could give the dimensions of that house as an example and say, hey dude, go build yourself another house out of Lego, and then we'll just do, and we'll make it, like kind of challenge him, like, now build one out of Lego. You need to make sure to have this spot for the Joy-Con on the top, and we're going to have the little things on the side. See if you can figure out how to do that. And again, something else we didn't talk about yet, but all of the, in the software, it also has the ability to basically understand how it's working. Right. And so, so it shows, here's what the Joy-Con camera, the IR camera is seeing.
Yeah.
And so then for him to sort of like reverse engineer that, or myself, frankly, but like the two of us together, right? Like reverse engineer it and then rebuild it in a new way. Like there's so much potential there. This is not just, hey, there's some cardboard there. It's like, that's thinking very small scale.
Yeah.
Like that's a very small minded sort of thing. And the cardboard craft thing is a springboard into doing so much more with that.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if you'd be able to buy the software independently of the actual cardboard.
I don't think so.
Like through the eShop. I wonder.
Maybe.
Because could you imagine if it's like, hey, I lost the cartridge.
Yeah.
Right. Or something like true. That. Then it basically becomes an entirely, like when the instructions are so tied into the device or tied into it.
Yeah.
Right. So I wonder if there is some kind of like, hey, you can, because if you can, then that's an interesting concept of, to your point, can I now reverse engineer how this has to work? So I know what the trigger is, right? But they want you to buy the cardboard obviously as well. Unless they sell the cartridge or the game separately for like $60, whatever.
Yeah.
The thing that I thought was really cool, by the way, we were on Bobby's show reacting to it as well live. But when they did the robot suit, and we recognized that was Project Giant Robot, right? Which Miyamoto rolled out 3 years ago and was always kind of on their list. But it's again an example of, I love it when Nintendo takes an idea that maybe it's kind of a frame of an idea or an early just part of an idea, but doesn't fully work, or they can't really roll it out, and then they roll it somewhere else. Right. So example of this is
Nintendo
like Virtual
never
Boy.
Throws an idea away.
Yeah. No, Virtual Boy, right? Virtual Boy didn't really work, but where did we see that concept kind of shake itself out into? It's the 3DS.
Yeah.
Right. The Wii U didn't really do great or did okay. It was a fine concept, but they fine tuned it into the Switch. Right. So I love when they recycle their ideas and make the better version.
I always thought that Project Giant Robot game looked kind of dumb. Like the whole idea of like holding the gamepad and like leaning or whatever, like it looks kind of dumb. This looks like a lot of fun. Like
it does look like
one fun. One of my first thoughts was like, wait a minute, those robot suits do those fit adults? You know what I mean? Like, am I gonna be able
my
to use this? Is the string long?
That
enough?
Really looks like Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, Marty, is that you can get like, you can trick yours out. You can get like a little Optimus Prime mask. You could color it in like Optimus Prime. You could get spray paint and like augment that sucker out. That's awesome. I'm going to be super excited. So you could do all sorts of cool stuff like that.
How much do you guys think that some, and I guess specifically the robot suit, and I think of like the headgear they put on it.
Excuse me.
How could we be seeing what their early draft is of a VR headset?
Maybe I don't know about that. I think that.
People are way too excited. Cardboard VR, right? But they've got some tooling into it.
I don't think so. I don't think Nintendo is remotely interested in VR right now. This, I think, is their version of VR. And I think it's consistent. Yeah. It's consistent with all the things that they've said. They've said that they're interested in augmented reality for a long time. And that's what this is augmented reality. And it's almost the reverse of virtual. It's almost the reverse of virtual reality, where instead of bringing people into a virtual space outside of the real world and into a virtual space, that feels like antithetical to what Nintendo's core values and mission statement are, right? Like, they want to bring people together, they want to have real valuable conversations and experiences with other people, right? And bring people together. Virtual reality pulls people out of the real world into a game, and it can be a very solitary experience. And I don't think that is what Nintendo is about, right? And this is what Nintendo is about, is having real world experiences that are exciting and bring people together. And I honestly don't think that we're going to see that we will see VR from Nintendo for a very long time. I think that they did that because it's a cool little system, you know, because it looks like a robot suit. That's probably that's my guess, is the only reason.
Yeah, and I just do want to follow up with one thing that Marty had said earlier is you know, of course, we do know that now that they're doing Labos, that all of you Nintendo fans realize you're not getting Metroid Prime 4 now until 2020. You're not getting Smash. There's just that one person they have locked away in a room that does all the things.
They're making this
so instead. You're not getting Mother 3. And actually, this is confirmation that the online service is delayed permanently until 20. Well, forever. They're not doing any more
virtual consoles. 2024 is what I heard.
Yeah, because now it's just cardboard. So
in fact, Nintendo fans, welcome to
E3 cardboard.
Yeah, I heard that all systems moving forward, they're no longer made out of the plastic and glass. They are actually the actual chassis of the unit is now cardboard. So
I also heard that, like, in a pitch meeting, Reggie was said basically, like, do you want to do a cardboard piano or do you want to do Mother 3? And he's like, cardboard piano.
Yeah.
All day.
In fact, I'm sure that's a quote straight from that meeting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Send your hate mail at Nintendo Dads.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, man, don't shoot the messenger.
We have a question in chat. Which one of us is the master crafter? I say it sure as hell isn't me.
I don't know.
That sounds like a video challenge, gentlemen.
It does sound like that sounds like fun. I don't know. Like, I would
think either Marty or Zach. I'm
yeah,
I'm
okay, I used to make I used to make 8-bit sprite art out of those perler beads.
Yeah, man. Wow. That's fun. That's
the instructions or not.
I've done that before. I think this actually sounds, I'm trying to think if there's anything that I've built recently.
The whole, like, I have to say that, you know, leading up to the announcement, there was a lot of theories around. I mean, Zach, you had the like Nintendo Tamagotchi theory.
Yeah. Which I still maintain would be fun, but this is way better.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the Amiibo 2.0 theory that maybe it was like, you know, posable Amiibos or a different kind of Amiibo, which again, this is more fun than that.
Yeah.
However, there was a rumor that leaked, and we actually tweeted about this from Reddit, where it was like Nintendo Pixel Bits, which was like the Lego, like Nintendo Legos that you would scan with the Joy-Con camera, and put them in a game.
I'm so glad they didn't do that.
I've got to say, I was glad they didn't go that route too. Now, would I still welcome those? Absolutely. But I think this, like, I don't like just looking at Labo, like, I know that it's a toy, but I don't get, like, I can't say that it's just a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it had been Legos or if it had been Amiibo, it's a toy.
Yeah.
Right.
This is, I'm way more, like, moving forward, like, buying this versus buying Amiibo, this is better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And these are up for pre-sale right now, I believe, on Amazon and on GameStop. And I believe this already became Amazon's top. And Best Buy, okay, one of their top. So,
and John Blanco just says in chat that if you're a member of their game club thing, you can get it for 20% off. So it'd be $56 for a variety pack and $64 for Amazon robot.
Canada. Thank you, John, because I was just about to mention that.
Why does Amazon Canada suck so bad?
Well, that's not Amazon. That's only Best Buy. It's the game club through Best Buy.
Okay.
Maybe on Amazon Prime.
I will confess that I have pre-ordered both of these through Amazon.
I was going to, but I the UK one isn't available yet. Yeah. And for if I get it from the US, it's $25 worth of shipping. Oh, so I'm like, I'm not shipping for cardboard. I'm not paying
through Amazon and not GameStop because I don't want the judgmental stares when I go in and pick up my cardboard.
You just go and say it's for my kids, and then that's it. Do you know how many times a week I use my kids as an out for something? Like, come on, it's like, I'm a dad, I got kids at home. What do you expect? Whether
they
it's
would
like,
know that that's a lie because my local GameStop knows my phone number by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I walk in and I'm like, I want to trade this in. They're like, we know your phone number.
Wow.
We know who you are. Yeah. Like, it's like Cheers. Like, you want to go where everybody knows your name. I walk through the door. They're like, oh, hey, Marty.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So that's Nintendo Labo. Any final thoughts before? I'm sure we're going to talk more about this stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
I think I would like to revisit this when we have a more concrete idea of what the games are going
to
be like.
Yeah. I would like to see
because
more.
Because that is really the questionable factor there.
Yeah. Yeah, I
also wanted to add that, you know, Justin mentioned that London, someplace in London, is doing the Nintendo Labo Studio. There'll be two weekends in one weekend in New York City on February 2nd and 3rd, and a weekend in San Francisco, March 2nd through 4th, where they'll have 3-hour sessions.
Hey, Canada, what are you doing in Edmonton? Just saying.
Okay. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to be able to attend the one in London because we're going to be over in Poland. But if any of our UK listeners are in that area and you're thinking about going to it and you've put in your application for, you've got your kids, please drop us a line and maybe we can try and help you in some way for additional access. And you can kind of be a roaming correspondence for us. Again, we know we have a couple of UK listeners who might be in that area. So again, drop us a line of Nintendo Dads or DM us on Twitter and we can try maybe sort that out for you.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome.
Someone did ask me if I was going, but we're literally just returning back from Poland that entire week. What? So I was like, "Ah, oh, that sucks."
Sounds like a change of plans is in order. That's what it sounds like. Just kidding. All right. So as far as other news this week, Nintendo Detective Select. Pikachu. Oh, Detective Pikachu. Oh my gosh, dude! I forgot about Detective Pikachu. How could I forget? Detective Pikachu was announced the day after we recorded.
The day after the direct.
The day after the direct. I'm excited for this. Like, I know it's Detective Pikachu. It's on the 3DS. I know that I literally just said never again. I don't want anything else on the 3DS. This is an exception because it's a game that's been there for a long. Like, it's a game that is a known commodity that has been out in Japan for a long time. It's different when it's just like a game that's being localized, I guess, right? Like, that makes it okay. So
the only question I have about it is do I really want a $30 amiibo?
Oh, that amiibo
of Detective Pikachu. Like, it looked really cool when they showed it because it's a much larger amiibo. I think it's probably going to be the biggest one they've created except Mega Yarn Yoshi.
Is how much was the Guardian amiibo down there?
It was 20.
20?
Really?
So this is $10 more expensive than that. And
getting the Pikachu tax is what you're getting.
And it has no
the Pokemon tax.
Posable arms or anything like that.
But he's wearing a Sherlock Holmes hat.
He is, and he probably like it would be great. What I wish is like it had a button on it where you could press it and he would be like, I love the smell of coffee.
Yeah. Like,
let's solve a mystery.
Here, where is this?
Tim, don't tell me you confused this guy for me, did you?
Like, is he actually just channeling Danny DeVito? Because
they probably gave the voice actor some kind of response to that. Yeah.
Okay, so the internet really wants Danny DeVito, but you're what we could afford.
Yeah. You like so, no offense, dude, but you
how
are
is your
the
Danny DeVito impression.
Yeah, you're the poor man's Danny DeVito. No offense, but yeah, can you do that? it looks good. I don't know. We'll see how
the game
how it goes.
I will get the Amiibo is going to be a hard pass. Yeah. Even though, and I will say this, if you're listening and you do want the Amiibo, it's up for pre-order right now on Walmart.com.
Another option if you're worried about the price is Play Asia may be an option, and sometimes their shipping might actually make it cheaper. I know that there was – I saw some website actually had a code to get like 25% off, and so okay. It made it cheaper. But something to think about, I'm actually on Play Asia's site right now. They don't seem – like they have Detective Pikachu, but I can't figure out the price of a model on it.
Yeah. So
something to think of as well.
It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
I just did a search for Detective Pikachu on Walmart, and the Amiibo is the second match. The first match is not an Amiibo, but it's Pikachu. It's a Deadpool Pikachu.
Oh, geez. Really?
Deadpool Pikachu statue.
Yeah. It's funny.
Not an Amiibo, moms and dads.
No, but it's still funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I'm looking on the press website too. I didn't realize that they had released so much art for this. There's quite a few different pieces of art on here. Yeah, that Amiibo is huge though, and it looks like it is solid. You know, like it's like you bought your Bowser Amiibo and that thing was a brick, right? Or like the 8-bit Mario. No, this thing is like it's a freaking monster compared to those things. Yeah. So.
Do you think that this might be an indication of where we're going with Amiibo? Maybe just one large Amiibo for certain titles.
I think it is a confirmation that they are moving more in the collector's direction, right? Like the whole idea, like as much as they're saying, oh yeah, we want them to be, you know, more relevant in games and stuff like that. That's not what they want at all. Like every single time that Amiibo have come out in the last year and a half, it's been like ever since the Switch came out, it's like Zelda, right? And then the Mario set. And like there's just enough for people to give collectors the kind of Amiibo that collectors would want. And then that's it. And yeah. So I'm not.
Besides this, we don't know. There's not any upcoming Amiibo, correct?
They haven't announced any.
Yeah, I don't know of any.
So I'm going to be...
Remember my prediction that there'd be less than 10 Amiibo for 2018? So I will win this 2018. I will.
You may be right.
Yeah.
But and here's the thing, too, with that. There are several titles that were announced during that Direct or have been announced for 2018 that Amiibo functionality fit the mold or fit what it would be for, and they said nothing.
Kirby? Is it like, are you thinking
Kirby was one? And we know it's in Bayonetta because it was in Bayonetta 2 to begin with, right?
Yep.
So what about Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze? Why did they not pop some Amiibo functionality into that?
Yeah, I honestly feel like it's
even if
not
it
a
just gave you
anymore.
A heart or more bananas.
Yeah, it's not a focus anymore.
Because they'd have to put out they could maybe put out a Funky Kong Amiibo.
I think that it's because Toys to Life is dead.
Yeah.
And
they're still trying to sell me those Animal Crossing Amiibo every time I go into. Anytime I go into Toys R Us or EB Games or whatever, right?
Topic Nintendo in the chat says there's a 3-pack of Shovel Knight coming out.
That's true. I forgot about those.
Though they're not making.
And those look really cool, but I probably
enough out of you, Gary. Enough.
Yeah. So that's that. I don't know. It's interesting. The other thing is. Nintendo Select's three new games were added: A Link Between Worlds, Super Mario 3D Land and Ultimate NES Remix. That's surprising that
those two of the three are good.
Yeah, well, an Ultimate NES Remix is just basically, I think that the Wii U version of that game was already already a Nintendo Select, and so.
Sorry, what are you talking about? I meant Link Between Worlds is garbage.
Are you what? Are you serious right now? You're so full of crap.
I'm just kidding.
Jeez, I was gonna say that was like kidding. I specifically remember you saying that game was awesome. So let's.
I'm with you, Jesse. I really thought that Mario 3D Land was already a select.
I think it was New Super Mario Brothers.
Maybe it was a Nintendo Select in another region.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not.
I know they do that sometimes.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's, I mean, those are cool. I don't really know what else to say about that. I guess so if you haven't played those, you can play them now. The next one is, Scribblenauts Showdown for $40 is coming out on March 6th. And it looks like a shovel or like a Scribblenauts game. I don't know. Like what's the thing? It looks like there's some competitive multiplayer to this one.
Yeah, I read the short press teaser that was released, and it promises to have I think 20 or 20 plus mini games, mm-hmm. or competitive games that you can play. And I don't know how I feel about this one.
Certain modes can go up to 4 players.
Yeah, I don't like. I feel like they need.
I don't remember all the details, but I remember seeing that there's some 2-player modes and some 4-player modes.
Like, my question is how competitive can it be when it's going to be on the screen, you know, in front of everybody if you are opening the box to type in what you want?
Yeah.
If there was a way that they could integrate your phone into it, like a Jackbox game where I'm typing in sword and you're typing in shield and we don't know what everybody's typing in, then mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm interested to see the reviews on it. The last few have not. They've been
the DC one was not great.
Like, yeah, it seems like they're like a solid, like 7 out of 10, 6.5. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's just like, I think we've talked about this before. I don't have time in my life for a game that is not at least an 8.3. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't have enough time.
It's a very specific number.
I just don't. 8.3. I just did that one by feel.
Makes me wonder what 8.2 game that you're playing that you wish you didn't.
You know what? Ain't nobody got time for that. You just you gotta have higher expectations of what you're gonna spend your time on. But you know what?
High hopes.
Yeah. Low expectations. Exactly. And high standards. But anyways. So that's, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this other than that, just, you know. I am interested, but the original Scribblenauts blew my mind, and I loved the original one. Like, it, at the time when it first came out, it was innovative. Ever since then, I've seen them try to like kind of struggle to continue to stay relevant with that franchise, and so we'll see how that goes. But so that's that. Is there this other stuff? Like, we gonna do this? Are we? You know what? For the sake of time, we're just going to jump into what we've been playing. Because Justin, I know you got to go soon.
Let's mention the second one in there. The Pokemon Crystal version is available for pre-purchase. It releases next week. Yes. It was available for purchase last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it.
Yes. So you can do that. And that is the definitive version of Gen 2 of Pokemon.
I have already pre-purchased this.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Well, let's get straight into what we've been playing, shall we? All right. And Justin, you got to go soon. Yes. So I'm going to let you go first.
Sure. Yeah. So I have been playing World to the West, and this is from Rain Games. And this is a follow up to the Teselgrad, which was released. Teselgrad was released last month, I think, officially for the Switch. Obviously, it had been on other platforms before. It had been on the Wii U before. And World to West, actually, as I recall, had been out on other platforms before. But this is – we were talking about it with Jules a little bit. where Teselgrad was a 2D platform Metroidvania game, this transitions to being a 3D puzzle adventure game, which is very cool. And you have four different characters, and each character has a unique ability. So in some ways there is some Metroidvania aspects, I guess, maybe, in that, you know, you need to have a certain skill set. You can go into a level and you can see what skill set you require to complete maybe that task or that stage, that kind of area you're in, but realize that the character you have is not the character to do that. Now, interestingly enough, in the first several chapters of the game, you don't get to select your characters, you're given the characters. So what happens is there are four characters that are kind of, their tails are being kind of crossed or coming together, and they have these different skills, and you kind of, you know, you start with one character and then they enter the fray or enter into the scenario. You get a little bit of their backstory, and then another character enters into the situation. You kind of both all of a sudden join together to solve an area or a puzzle. And then, you know, you may have come in as the teleporter, but now you're leaving as kind of the thief who has a different ability. And so they kind of begin, these stories begin to kind of meld together. And what's happening is there's kind of this larger story at play where you're controlling the other two characters or other character, and they're entering in, and you kind of begin to see that there's this world that's being webbed or webbed together, and the scenario. It's a lot of fun. It is a ton of fun, really good. You know, when you kind of go into an area and you've got to solve the puzzle, it's, you know, okay, I need to get the key to open the gate. How do I get the gate, or how do I get the key? Okay, well, the teleporter doesn't work, or the person who teleports doesn't work. Okay, but I can use this other person who takes over an animal, controls them, and they can jump over there, bring me the key, bring over here. So there's a lot of that really complex problem solving, which I like. I will say the boss levels are hard. They are definitely challenging. You know, we talked about before Blossom's Tale, when like those mid-level bosses that are hard. There is some really tough bosses that are almost too frustrating, but get through it. The game is broken up into chapters, which is really cool. So you'll be with a set of characters for a chapter, and then it goes to another set of characters, and the stories begin coming closer and closer together where they're meeting. And you're exploring a level that you may have just did with one set of characters. Now you're exploring with a second set of characters, and it's different. It feels different because there's different areas you can access. The puzzles are really, like I said, kind of really cool and unique. The characters are really fun characters, really well-written story, great dialogue. The world is very open. It's a very gorgeous world, actually, very well done, as opposed to Teselgrad, where it was very dark and dreary and rainy. This is much more open, much more bright. It's actually funny. One of the creatures in the game, kind of this like dog animal creature thing, one of the villains, reminds me of the character from Stranger Things, the villain, what's the thing called,
the Demogorgon.
You mean this latest season of Stranger Things, you know, there's a small Demogorgon.
Oh, it, yeah, the Demodog or Dart.
It literally looks, yeah, this thing literally looks like the Demodog, like almost down to a T, which is funny because Stranger Things came out after the game. So like I literally finished Stranger Things at 2 and then started playing the game, and I was like, this is really creepy how these things are connected, it looks like. But yeah, great characters, great dialogue, amazingly cool world. The things that I didn't really care too much about, or I thought was a bit challenging, or a bit of a turnoff, was actually from the load screen. At times was a little bit long. Like I actually thought my Switch had frozen at a couple points. So that was a little bit odd at first. At first, like load screen when you go in, kind of feels like that. So that can be a little bit. It's not as smooth or as quick as I'd maybe like it to be. At times when you're jumping back and forth between characters, if you haven't played one for a while, you kind of forget what is the move set. So you need like a quick friendly reminder. Now, luckily enough, they have put like this kind of like quick button tap where you can kind of see where your quick buttons are for what you need to do, which is great. And then what was the other thing? They also have a great travel system, a great kind of fast travel. So you'll find these checkpoints and you can jump back and forth to checkpoints. Very easily, presuming you have discovered that checkpoint, but you may be in a party of two of you, and I may take one character and explore further. and have passed those checkpoints, I cannot take the other character who's further back to the new checkpoints. That character has to find those checkpoints themselves. So it's a little bit of a fast travel system that at times feels a little bit
slow,
a little bit spotty, a little bit slow. It's a fast pass travel system, but not as fully fleshed as maybe I'd like it to be to get through more. But I would highly recommend this. This was a ton of fun. Big thanks to the developers who gave us early access for almost a month actually to get our hands on this. But I would, you know, if you liked Teselgrad, you liked that world, and that's the thing, they're building on the Teselgrad universe and the world and the story and kind of the little bit of the lore around it. And so although not completely directly connected to Teselgrad in that it's a sequel, in that, you know, it's Teselgrad 2, Super Teselgrad, right? It's building in that environment and that universe. And I would highly recommend checking this out. It's well worth it for sure.
Very cool. Right on, man.
Yeah.
It's
on the Nintendo eShop right now, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you playing anything else or?
No, that has been it. I've been playing Super Meat Boy more nice. as I continued through that, and just kind of loving playing that and picking that up, and it's a good challenge. And yeah, and every time my daughter's like, "Can I play Super Meat Boy?" I'm like, "Yep." And she plays it like one round and dies. She's like, "Yep, I'm done."
Yeah.
So, I've been really, really, really enjoying that. But those are the two big ones that I'm playing.
Right on. So I can go next. So I think first off, I got a package in the mail finally yesterday, after a little bit of a mix up. We got a bunch of stuff from Snakebite, which we got like a total of 5 different Snakebite products, which I thought was super cool and I was excited. The one, like, I got this thing. Marty, you have something like this, don't you? Like, do you have like this?
Oh yeah,
the Joy-Con charger.
It's the Joy-Con charger.
On the video.
Yeah, so this is like the Joy-Con charger. You can kind of like pop them in. I have it plugged in right now, actually, at my desk here. So you can like charge your Joy-Cons or whatever. Kind of cool. I bought the charge grip a while ago, and so I actually am able to charge all 4 of my Joy-Cons without this. But this looks really cool, right? Like to almost like display your Joy-Con while you're, you know, whatever. We got that. That one's pretty cool. All of this stuff, by the way, is actually really affordable. And so, I'm just realizing that one of the things I wanted to show off is I'm looking at it, but I'm going to have to step away from the microphone for 1 minute. So somebody vamp.
I'll vamp. Yep. Maybe while you're doing that. Yeah. So Snakebite sends these great items. Snakebite actually sent us some items right when the Switch had released as well. And what Zach is actually wearing is those amazing headphones, which I love. We have some videos of it. It's got a splitter on it as well. But they also make, I actually believe they make the best Nintendo cases, like for your, like carrying cases for your Switch.
I forgot that I was wearing these headphones.
And all super accessible, low cost as well.
The cool thing I like about these headphones, I think, Justin, when they sent you, when you were still living in Canada, they've got the additional headphone jack on the other side. Correct. So if you're playing Mario Kart or whatever, then your buddy plugs their headphones into your headphones and you're both hearing the same thing.
We've used that with the kids and it's brilliant.
Oh, it's genius. So this is a Pro controller. I don't know if you can see this. Again, audio listeners, notice where the D-pad is. It's like a PS4 controller, you know, where it's like the D-pad is up top. This is it's a corded controller. It's what, like 10 feet? Like it's like a 10 foot long cord. It's got sharper edges on it. Not sharp, but like actual edges on the grip there. It feels good in the hand. It's smaller than the Pro controller. I actually find that the Pro controller sometimes feels a little bit big. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But the Snakebite controller feels really good. You know, I've tried it a little bit. It has a turbo button on it, which was really exciting to me. I don't know if you guys remember, like, back in the day when you'd have like a turbo button, and so that's cool.
So is that how you're doing well in Enter the Gungeon?
With some weapons, I think that probably would help, actually, right? Like, you can, I think some of the weapons, if you tap the fire button, then it actually does help. I think the one that everybody's going to be most interested in, though, so I got that, I got the headphones, I got the thing, I got the case. The one that I think everybody's going to be most excited about is this thing, though, which is a battery pack. And again, this is like $20-25, something like that. Basically, how it works is it's got a little unlock thing. So on from the side profile, and I'll describe this for audio listeners, but it's got a little hinge here. And so you unlock this. I don't know if you can even see this because of everything. So you pull this up and back. So it's got like a little hinge. You pull it up, pull it back, and then slot it in, and then pull this little thing back down. And there's a little switch to lock it. And so now from a side profile, the switch is like twice its thickness and honestly, probably over double the weight that it was before. it's a beefy, heavy thing. It does have a kickstand. So you can do that, right? Like it, my only thing is that the vents on the back are completely covered up, which I wonder about that. I don't know if that's going to end up being a problem down the line, but I have noticed that this charges pretty quickly, actually. Like it's a 7,000 milliamp battery. So I don't know what the switch is, like how many charges that is. I've only had it for a day, so I'm not entirely sure, but, my initial reactions to this thing are just that it's heavy and it does seem to charge. So like, I don't know. But it's, and like, it's pretty decent looking, right? Like that's not bad. Like it, of course it's going to be bigger and heavier. Like it's a huge battery. What do you expect? Right. So, but yeah, yeah. So those are the Snakebite accessories.
The specs that I'm seeing on the Nintendo website says the internal battery is 4310 milliamps. So that's
you're going to get like
almost twice.
You're going to get about a charge and a half out of that. So,
and Marty, that's very similar to kind of some experiences you had. Now you received Nyko's charge pack, did you not?
Yeah. So Nyko, put out one that's very similar to that, except that it kind of stretches the length of the tablet part.
Hmm.
And it'll charge your Switch up to about 50%.
Yeah, no, this one, I bet you could probably get a full charge out of. And like it looks pretty
beefy.
It's very beefy, but it's not very wide either. Like you're saying that Nyko one is fairly wide. This one, like if you were playing head on, it doesn't actually look that bad at all, right? Like if you were playing tabletop mode, you'd barely even know that it was there. So I'm actually pretty impressed with it. I will see how well it works long term, but I do like it. Those are the Snakebite stuff. Huge thanks to them for sending those over for review. The other thing that I guess I've been playing more Fury. That game, it looks really cool, and it's my favorite part about it is the way it looks. It feels a little bit grindy after a while. And maybe that's just that I'm not driving with it, but Fury, I'm a little lukewarm on it. The other one that I have been playing a lot of since yesterday is a game that came out today on the eShop called Darkest Dungeon. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a sort of tactics, dungeon crawling, turn-based strategy kind of game. It was originally released on the PC, and I mean, it's got all sorts of awards and stuff like that. They've got two different DLC packs you can also get for it. And basically it's like a dungeon crawly sort of, but it is based in sort of that Victorian era, almost, like a Lovecraftian horror sort of setting. And the entire premise of the game is, what if you took you're going through dungeons or different settings, but you really pay attention to the psychological welfare of the people who are going through these dungeons. And so they have similar to, it actually reminds me of Eternal Darkness a little bit, where they have an entire mechanism or like gameplay sort of, you know, a whole side of the gameplay. It's late, dude. My brain's turning off. They call it like a stress meter and different things that happen. So for example, you're walking through a dungeon and it actually feels a lot like there's a lot of sort of tabletop RPG sort of mechanics that go along with this too. Like there's traps and you can find the traps, but and then you may or may not successfully disarm the trap. If you accidentally trigger a trap, or if you run into a monster, let's say you've got like your crusader guy, all of them have little quirks about them too. And so you may recruit a crusader, but, oh, wait a minute, he's afraid of undead. So, which, I mean, he's not a great crusader, but whatever. He's afraid of the undead. And so every time he comes up against the undead, he gets more scared, right? And so his stress meter builds. Once he reaches 100 stress, then he's either going to have an ailment strike or he's going to be emboldened, right? And so, like, if he's emboldened, then he may be, like, for the rest of the run, he may be invigorated. And he's, like, yeah, like the whole concept of, like, some people shrink in bad situations and some people, like, really step up and whatever, right? So one, he may be, like, totally invigorated and he has this sort of, like, stat bonus for the rest of the run. The example that I gave off air was I had somebody who, again, we'll just keep the example of this crusader, right? He's in there, he's scared of undead, and all of a sudden he hits 100 stress and he becomes masochistic. And so for the rest of that run, he intentionally inflicts harm on himself every once in a while because he's crazy that way. And so then in between dungeon runs, you've got a whole roster of people. You can only ever take 4 people at a time through a dungeon run. But you've got a whole roster of people that you're trying to manage and keep. You're trying to keep them healthy and sane at the same time. And so like in between runs, you'll go back to the town and you'll start checking people into different places in town. So this guy's super stressed. We're going to go to the bar. He's going to hang out at the bar for the next couple of days and his stress is going to go down again. And then he'll be okay to go on another dungeon run, right? This guy, had a terrible experience and now, he's not allowed to go to the brothel anymore. And the actual thing says it's better not to ask why he's not allowed to go to the brothel or whatever. So he's actually going to go to the sanitarium and we're going to try and get him so he's not such a deviant sort of person anymore. Like so you're constantly managing all these different pieces. It's very, it's very tactical, but also like they really play into those sort of Lovecraftian horror tropes of
people hang out when they're with a really weird crowd.
Yeah, well, like they go into like all those Lovecraftian horror tropes of like people going insane because of the things they've experienced and all those sorts of stuff, right? Like they really tie into that kind of setting and the tone, and it's a like if this sounds like an interesting sort of game, go and watch the trailer, or go and watch some Let's Plays and stuff like that. Hey, Justin's got a bailout. Peace out, man. See you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
So that's Darkest Dungeon. I'm a big, you know, sort of like old school horror fan. And so I've been really digging it. But yeah, we will, if you like that, it's on the eShop right now and, go check it out. I think IGN back in the day gave it like a 9 point something. So, I'm not the only person who, you know, it's not just me being weird, crazy sort of person. Like it's a good quality game. So, and then of course, Enter the Gungeon still is amazing. And, I'm going to check out that Xenoblade DLC probably soon. So, Marty, what about you, dude? Well,
I have been playing this, this little game called Enter the Gungeon.
Yep. Yeah.
Which I've got to say that I've had several people contact me about purchasing the game or deciding to purchase the game since our show last week. And so if you're still out there and you're on the fence, let me give you a quick push over because Zach, you can maybe talk about this just a little bit. I know we talked about it a lot last week. I cannot get away from this game.
Oh, I know.
And I think that it's the bite-sized nature of it. You know, I can play it for 20 minutes at a clip. But I got further the other night than I ever had. I got to the boss of level three, which is the Black Powder Mines, which is this giant skull. Who is ridiculously difficult. He's called the like it's like the cannonball or something like that. But yeah, he is like the difficulty definitely, you know, is there from the beginning, but it really ramps up in that third level.
Totally.
And like just being able to continue to discover new guns and even more ridiculous combinations. Like I know I mentioned a couple last week, but I found a new one. Excuse me. I found a new one this week that was a pixelated letter R.
Yeah. Bullet.
So it kind of looks like a gun, but when you pull the trigger, it literally shoots the word bullet out. And this weird voice says bullet, bullet.
Yeah.
So like every time you shoot, it says bullet, bullet. And then when it hits the enemies, instead of making like a little, like they flash or sit back, like it makes it says bam.
Yeah.
Or bang.
Yeah.
It's like, so good. I don't know. Like, I just know that there's all the more of these layers, you know, that will be getting pulled back as we get even further. And like, I think that's what I love most about this game.
It was so funny. I was running, I was doing a run the other day, and I found this guy, or I think it was actually a girl, and I rescued them from the cell. I think it was on the second level or something. And I went back out to the breach, which is like that main hub world, right? And
yeah,
they're just sitting there on the ledge, just hanging out with their helmet next to them. And so I like walk up to him. And
I know exactly where.
And I try and talk to him, and like accidentally hit the helmet instead, and it falls back down. It's like, why did you do that? Like now I have to go do it. And then I just didn't actually have a chance to run anymore. Like I was like, this was the last one for real this time, and so I had to turn it off. And then I went back, and I was like, wait a minute, where'd that person go? They're gone. And like I just assumed that the game had not saved, and that this person was. I'd just have to find them again. Turns out just like today I was playing and this was probably a week ago. I come back today and I'm playing through and finally find this person again. He's like, yeah, I found my helmet. You jerk. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
I was like, Oh,
and,
I guess.
And like he serves from what I understand, he serves no purpose.
Oh really? Yeah. There's a few people.
Like, well, like I've not been able to get him to tell me what to do. There's another guy that I rescued from the gungeon who is like this king with a revolver. He's like a little midget king with a revolver, and he's got like this green blob companion that follows him, and he just shakes his head and won't talk to you. But like the little king has a really bad attitude, and he hangs up by the entrance to the gungeon, and like you'll talk to him and he'll say something, and then you try to talk to him again and he'll be like, step off. And then that's it. That's always it. I'm like, what is the point of this?
Yeah.
So like, I love that there's all these little like things to unlock, and you found the girl with the giant robot, right?
Oh yeah. I've unlocked
her.
I've unlocked like two whole rooms full of stuff for her. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's
all the weapons. And stuff.
I mean, it's the hegemony tokens that you get for defeating bosses are what you use to buy things in there.
Yeah.
For people who are listening that maybe haven't found it yet. But yeah, it's it's the game that keeps on giving. And so good. I could say this, like last week, I've been playing Shu. Watch for a video of that next week when our embargo gets lifted.
Is that embargo still up? I didn't realize that was still up.
Yeah, it's up until the 23rd.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Tuesday, I guess.
Cool.
Of next week. We'll have a video that's launching that day when we're allowed to show it. But yeah, you might want to set aside some money for that one.
Cool. Right on, man.
Oh, and I mentioned this to you guys earlier, but I guess I should mention it to people listening. I bought Doom for the Switch.
Yeah.
And I love it, but not as much as my 10-year-old son.
Oh, geez.
This probably should not. I'm being a bad Nintendo dad. Like, I warned him about it. I was like, dude, this game is about killing demons. And that you probably don't want to. You probably don't want to play it. Well, then he played it, and he's like today he was like, Dad, I love killing demons. And I was like, okay, great. Awesome.
Oh, that's
next
awesome.
Step, Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
No?
There's some very interesting design choices with that. Yeah, right on, man. That Doom is super fun. I want to be able to use that shotgun, the Labo shotgun, the cardboard one. I want to use it in Dune. Let's make it happen, Nintendo.
I will say that his reaction to the chainsaw was awesome.
Oh, really?
He was like, you've got a chainsaw? And I was like, yeah, press Y and use it. And he was like, what?
That's so funny.
You cut him in half.
That's hilarious. Right on. Jesse, what about you, man? I already know that I have not played a game that I have said that I was going to play.
Yeah, I was going to remind you that there are other games that do not end in the word engine.
I know.
My oldest daughter actually played that game, but she kind of speed ran it and didn't read all the text.
You got to read
it. Kind of missed the point of the game, but she went through the motions and... But we'll talk more about that when you're ready to.
I will. Yeah.
I really want your input on it.
Especially
the way you talked about Darkest Dungeon. It's,
yeah. Anyway, no, I definitely am going to.
What I've been playing primarily is Pick-A-Pix Deluxe. I think I mentioned it a little bit last week. So it's available on the Switch now. It's I think $8 to buy, and it comes with 300 puzzles. It's like Picross, but with color. So it's not just black and white. It can be, some puzzles have three colors. I think you go up to five or six different colors. So you use shoulder buttons to change the colors around. And so there's 150 color puzzles, and then 150 of the traditional black and white Picross puzzles. And then for an additional $4 of DLC purchase, you get 150 puzzles from the previous game, Pick-A-Pix Color, which was released on the 3DS and Wii U. So for half the price, you get half more puzzles. So about the same value. So I played through most of the black and whites, and I've played I'm about 90% done with the DLC puzzles, and then I haven't even started with the puzzles from the base game yet. Wow. So I'll be continuing working on that. Someone's asking in chat if any of us has played The Escapist 2. I have not. I don't know if anyone else here picked it up.
Justin talked about it last week, I think. So, I think I think that would be, you can go check out last week's episode. I know he talked about it there. I haven't played it though. So.
All right. So that's really all I've been playing, and I'm hoping to get a start on Final Fantasy VI soon. I plan on doing live streams on that. I was tossing it back and forth between whether I should do it on my channel or on Nintendo Dad's channel, but now that YouTube made their
do it on ours, man.
Yeah. It's pointless to do it on my channel now with YouTube's new policy. So yeah, I'll do it on the Nintendo Dad's channel.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. All right. Well, with that, let's head into what do we got for listener mail? We got time for a little bit. For at least one, we could do at least one.
Oh, right? I think so. Yeah, we're still an hour and a half in. So,
all right.
I think we have two here. All one's right. Short one, one's a longer one.
All right, here we go. I'm play the thing. All right, and of course the mailbag brought to you by oneofbox.com. Is that still a thing? They still send us those, right? Yeah. So
we, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll have our new, we should have a new one in hand very soon with a new video.
Sorry. I wasn't implying like, hey, yo, where's our video? I was more literal. I was actually just more curious if that was a still thing. So that's awesome. Right on. So the first one here from Brandon. Hey, dads. I enjoyed my time with Triforce Heroes. It was fun. Restarted it the other day with a big problem. I can't play it anymore. There's no one to play with. Any suggestions? Yeah, see, that's why we don't make games like Triforce Heroes.
Find some friends or find a different game.
Or, I mean, the single player mode, but the single player mode in that game is kind of a nightmare because
yeah, see, I didn't even finish a single player mode and I didn't even try the online.
The single player mode in that game is not good at all. It's because some of those puzzles require some pretty significant timing, you know? So like where you've got to time the different things in that. So I don't know. Yeah, find some friends to play with. Actually, you know what? Maybe if you're in our Patreon chat, then maybe even see if other people are playing that game, or just go into some other like online groups, look online, see if people are playing it and coordinate like a time where people could play.
Did this game have download play or does everyone need their own copy?
I think everybody needs their own copy.
So do I, but I just wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's that would be my assumption though. But you know what assuming does.
Yeah. So this game replaces Majora's Mask as the third game, Zelda game, and I never finished. Mm. So when Majora's Mask 3D came out, I finished it for the first time, but then this came out and yeah, didn't finish it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really know what else to say about that other than like the obvious sort of, things that you would say about that, but. Yeah, so that's that. I don't know, Marty, any other thoughts on that? I don't think.
Throw it in the trash. Seriously, wow. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, this was not my favorite Zelda game. I didn't even play it. And you may say, well, then you don't know if it's good or not. Honestly, I'm just gonna say it. Zelda is not made for a multiplayer experience. It's not. Stop trying to make it for a multiplayer experience. Like the Four Swords stuff, it just needs to go die. And I'm sorry. It's just not like it. Zelda is supposed to be about exploration and like that whole like one man versus the world. That's what I've always got from it. And so, like, when you take it and you split it into this weird multiplayer thing, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you know that this, but this is a good point here. I think of being able to say, how long can we expect Nintendo to support games like this? Right.
Yeah. Like, for sure.
Because I mean, like, what's the lifespan? And this game is fairly, I mean, I don't want to say it's completely old, but it's pretty new,
it's
right?
It's fairly new, yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
The community has already fallen apart.
That's the thing that's surprising to me is that for them to release a game like this and for them to be so, usually so interested in evergreen titles, right? Games that you can continue to play forever, that they can stay on the shelf. That was not this game, I'll tell you that.
Well, so. This game is such a different type of game versus a normal Zelda game from the start that, you know, I kind of, the writing was on the wall as soon as, within a month, that this was not going to be a long-lasting game.
Yeah.
Checking to see when it was launched. October 15, 2015.
Yeah.
So, a little over 2 years.
Yeah. So yeah. So all right. Oh, well, thanks, Brandon, for your email. Of course, if you guys want to email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. Our next email here is from, I don't know who it's from, but I'll go ahead and read this one. It says, "Hey guys, Although the January 2018 Nintendo Direct didn't blow me away, I wasn't expecting much. After delivering two blockbuster games for both the Mario and Zelda franchises, it would be hard for any Nintendo Direct to follow after such an amazing 2017. I suspect that 2018 will include a number of Nintendo and third-party ports and cardboard. He didn't say that, but cardboard. many third parties bemoan the lack of sales on Nintendo devices. I'm wondering if a little different approach may help sales on Nintendo devices and other consoles in general. I really have little interest in playing mature rated games, partly because I don't want my kids playing them. Inevitably, they'll end up playing the games I play, and I'm not about to sequester myself in a back room of my home just so I can proposition a lady of the night and then murder her for a refund. Thanks for that, GTA. Anyway, there's a service out there called VidAngel for TV shows and movies that let you filter out sex, violence, and explicit language. You really don't realize the amount of language there is in 80s classics like Goonies and Back to the Future until you sit down and watch it with young kids. What if video games did the same? In fact, some already do. I believe the developer of Gears of War allows you to filter out some blood and most language. In fact, I tried Sunset Overdrive specifically because it allowed you to filter content. What if Red Dead, Tomb Raider, and Bioshock did this, or GTA? I would probably be willing to give them a try, or do you think the sex, violence, and language is integral to such games? Let's all hope for a fantastic 2018. And then I'm not sure who that was. John Doe. I don't know. Mario. Anyways, thank you so much for your question. Marty, I'm interested in your take on this. For being the guy who lets his kid play Doom, I'm going to throw you under the bus. What do you
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you did that, didn't you?
He's older than my kid, though, so it's okay.
Like, yeah, okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, the argument of artistic expression versus necessity, I think, is one that we'll always have when it comes to cursing and nudity and things like that, because you have a game like Grand Theft Auto 5, which I'm not going to defend, but I'm going to say would probably not be the same game if it took all of that stuff out.
Yeah.
Versus God of War, which, you know, was a great game on its own merits and then threw in some pretty pointless, like, obviously out to shock you sex scenes, you know, in every game, you know, where you can, like, control Kratos off screen and then you get a bunch of orbs. And and like you look at that and you weigh the benefit of having things in that game like that in the game versus making it accessible to everyone. And I think that what it comes down to is a publisher preference, right? I don't know that there's necessarily a service like what was mentioned in this email that could take these things out of the game. But I will say that as a dad, I do appreciate the built-in filter idea.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is, that's why, and a lot of you guys know, I'm a youth pastor. That's why we don't buy Call of Duty games for our Xbox at church.
Yeah.
Because even like, you know, I had a bunch of students who loved to play the zombies mode. And even in like Modern Warfare 3, the language was,
oh, it's terrible.
It was terrible and it was unnecessary. Like it didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obviously one of those things where it was like, we've shoehorned this in here to make this more edgy or to make this, you know, mature,
yeah,
or whatever. And, you know, like I could do without that. You know, I would love to be able to strip that stuff out. I think that as gaming becomes a more, and I would say it's pretty mainstream right now, but I think as gaming becomes even more mainstream and even more like just a thing that people do, that we'll see more of this. But again, I think what it comes down to is the publisher willing to do that? Yeah. Are they willing to self-edit?
It has to be that way too.
You know, like it's not like the FCC on TV where if somebody is drops the F-bomb on live TV, there's a 7-second delay and they can bleep it out.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody's regulating the video games you play in your own home because those are on demand.
Yeah.
And you know, like take for instance, I mean, I was in a similar situation to what this guy was in a few years ago when we first moved in with my in-laws. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's fantastic. Up until that point, I had only ever seen the TV version of it. Right? And so
I'm
browsing through Walmart and I was like, man, National Lampoon's for $5 on Blu-ray? Sure. So I buy that movie, and on Christmas Eve, one of our Christmas Eve traditions is that after the kids are in bed, we watch a couple of movies before we go to bed. And the two movies we always watch after the kids go to bed are A Christmas Story and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And so, like, we're there, you know, the kids are in bed. They were still really, really young then, like 5 and 4. And my father-in-law is there with my mother-in-law. And I'm like, let's watch National Lampoon's. He's like, hey, that's a great idea. So we put in the DVD. Oh, buddy. There's stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like not in the TBS version.
Nope. Yeah.
I think again, what it comes back to is like, you have content when you play video games that is pretty much on demand. Like you play the game you want to, when you want to play it. Right.
Yeah.
Nobody's around to censor that. Would I like that? Yes. But the publishers have to be the ones that are responsible. I think if more people would be more vocal about it, the publishers would be more open to it.
Yeah.
But until people are more vocal about it, it's not, I don't see it happening on a more widespread basis.
The problem is, especially with games like GTA, is they want the mainstream to get vocal about it because it's free press for them and it boosts their sales.
Right.
But, you know, so like video game industry is similar to the movie industry. It's not a real-time thing. It's something that's carefully crafted and edited and ready to be consumed. So, like, if a movie maker wants to make a PG-13 movie, sends it off to the ratings board, and they said, this is an R, then they have the choice of keeping it as an R or cutting things out to censor it at that level before it gets to the end user.
Yeah.
So, you know, video games are the same thing. They send it to ESRB. They say, this is them. Oh, crap. He wanted the T. So what do we do? Do we leave it to them or do we strip it? And so that's the decisions they make. You know, there is no real-time check here.
I remember growing up, my friend had his parents were pretty hardcore, like very super conservative. Like they had this sensor box that ran off of the closed captioning on their TV, and it would, anytime the closed captioning would catch anything that was like bad language, it would mute the TV and like replace the bad words with like other words and show the closed captioning just for that line. And it was like the dumbest, most annoying thing ever. But yeah, kind of like what you guys are saying too, like it has to be with the game developers. I don't think that anybody would ever be able to put it on the system level because, the developers are going to freak the heck out for that, right? Like they're just going to lose their minds. The other thing that there's a documentary. I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore. It's called Clean Flicks. And it's a documentary about a company that tried to, and they actually did it for a while until they got shut the crap down, where basically they decided that they were just going to do clean edits, like GPG rated edits of all the different movies. So they literally just like edited the movies themselves and then let people rent them. And they had the whole like rental store sort of thing. And so if you wanted to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but the Clean Flicks version, there was an edited version of that. And I actually remember watching that, and it was like a half an hour long, maybe.
Wow.
And
I was going to make that comment about GTA 5, that if they took everything that was offensive out of, about it, it would be like the title screen and the end credits.
Yeah, and that's basically what this was. Yeah, like it's crazy.
I think we talked about it the last week or a few weeks ago, where like language can be used properly in some cases. I don't know if it was us or another show I was listening to, but so there are, you know, you can do interesting things with language. And it makes sense with the narrative for that particular game. It does not seem over the top. You know, definitely there, you know, a lot of games do it over the top just for the shock value. And same with the sex and same with the violence. Like, you know, Doom, that's, hell yeah, it's over the top violence, but it still makes sense for its own narrative.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, which way do you go? It's one of those things that's hard to tell. And like, you know, you mentioned nudity and, you know, in even the God of War and Grand Theft Auto, some of that's probably, you know, a little over the top too. And, you know, I'm thinking of another game I played a while back, Dante's Inferno, kind of a God of War clone in a way. That, I think, handled nudity a little bit more, you know, it seemed to fit the environment more there than it did in other games, just because you're not dealing with humans. You're dealing with demons and other mutated beasts. Yeah. That it makes sense that, yeah, why would you be wearing clothes? It makes no sense that you would have clothes on. So, yeah, you've got things hanging around. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. So I think ultimately, here's the thing, and I think we've talked about this before, just to kind of speak to the emailer as well. The Switch, I think, actually does this whole like parenting and mature games thing. I think they do it better than most for a couple of reasons. One, you can play in handheld mode. Two, parental controls, right? And the parental controls are easy to set up on your phone, and I use them on my Switch, right? Like, my son is 7, and he's a passionate young man, I guess is the way to put it. I just didn't want to play in like a game like that, at least for now. Like, and no judgment to anybody who, you know, whatever. I have it set on there so that it's like for mature rating, right? And you can play it in handheld mode, and I think ultimately that is about as good as you're going to get with that. The other thing as well is that if you're worried about it, buy a physical copy of the game. That way, that's another point of like another barrier is, I don't keep the Doom cartridge in the Switch usually, right? It's like, all right, I'm going to play Switch, and it's like I put it in somewhere else, whatever. I don't know. So there's different ways to do it, but I think ultimately you've got to do what's right for you. You got to do what's right for you and those sorts of things. And so, but ultimately too, I think this, and this is my last sort of thing on it, and maybe we can kind of get your guys' opinion on it too, is that I think sometimes people want to offload their responsibility. We talked about this with the cardboard thing too. They want to offload their responsibility as parents onto the game developers, the game and the different companies that are making this sort of thing. Ultimately, it's your responsibility as a parent to deal with that kind of thing. And it's not theirs. And I'm not necessarily saying that the emailer, that's what they're saying, but ultimately it's your responsibility to figure out what works best for you and your kids, how you want to do it, and not rely on the developers and the game community and all that sort of stuff to do that for you, because they are going to just sell you whatever they can, right? And they're going to do whatever they can sell to the most amount of people. And that may, you may not want that to be your kids. So I don't know. Anyways, I don't know. Like, Marty, what do you think about, like,
no, I completely agree with you. I think that you're spot on when you say that We do that with lots of things. I mean, we do that with our smartphones, right?
Yeah.
We want to abdicate the role of parents and give our kids an iPad or give our kids a smartphone and allow them to not bother us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I like, you know, you may listen to this tonight and be like, man, I can't believe he would listen. He would let his kid play Doom. Well, I, you know, I may have not intended to do that in the first place, but I,
whoops,
like he played it and we talked about it and
that's the
it wasn't thing. Just me saying, sure, kid, I'll buy Doom for you. Right.
Yeah.
Or sure, kid, I'll let you play this. You know, you've asked for it. So here you go, you know, and you get unfiltered access to it. You know, when I had The Binding of Isaac still, you know, I played that and immediately I was like, oh, my son can never play this or my kids can never play this, you know, like not right now. And I told him, do not play The Binding of Isaac. Do not even try it. I will know if you've played it. Don't do it, you know. Yeah. And then the same thing for The End Is Nigh. I told him, you know, and because I have, and maybe this is the key here, and I'm not saying I'm a like super parent or I've got it all figured out or whatever, but because I have cultivated a relationship with my son.
Yes.
He understands that I have his best interest at heart when I say, son, you don't need to play that right now.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, but not right now. And you know what? He's never done it.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he's never done it. I've checked his profile. The End Is Nigh has never shown up there. And I know that, you know, kids are going to be kids. They're going to do what they want to do. I get it.
But again, but, Marty, I want to reemphasize what you said before. The biggest thing with that is you talk to him about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think a similar sort of thing with my son. I did let my son play Xenoblade, right? And there's you know, there's some like it's not like mind-blowingly scandalous, but there's some revealing clothing, I guess, if that's what you want to say, right? But it's just sort of a thing of like, hey, well, what do you think about that, right? Huh? You know, and I think that sometimes we underestimate how resilient and frankly, sort of like. How much more adults deal with this, and kids are resilient, right? And it's much more of a big deal to us. And like he's like, oh, like weird. Why does she not have like? Why is that showing? And I was like, I don't know. What do you think? He's like, that's weird. And that was it, right? And like,
right.
It was like big deal. And we worry about how we're gonna have this conversation with our kid and that sort of thing. And it's just like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's not gonna go that bad.
See. This conversation is kind of getting weird for me a little bit because now my kids are old enough to the point where I am encouraging them to play games that I wouldn't have previously encouraged them to, like, you know, like DDLC, for example. You know, my son's played it, and my oldest daughter's played it, and I want the youngest daughter to play it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would highly, you know, again, say none of your kids should be playing that game, but yeah. I'm wanting my kids to.
Yeah.
Well, that's but is it because, Jesse, let's go back to something here. Is it because you have cultivated a relationship with your kids?
I think they're old enough to understand and handle the content.
Right. But I mean, what I'm saying is that you could dialogue about that.
Yes. And that's what I'm wanting to do.
Right. Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Well, and that can be an enjoyable experience. Like this is something.
I truly think it is something they enjoy. At least the youngest daughter, the oldest one really didn't care about it. But you know, my son really, once he figured out what's going on, he had fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's what I keep coming back to here with this is that like, you know, entertainment should not. And it was, I don't think it was ever created to push us away from the people that we care about.
Oh, exactly.
Or isolate us from people. Right.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that like, it was never meant to be, I really don't think it was meant to be consumed alone.
Yeah.
Or in a vacuum, let's put it that way, in a vacuum of just, I'm responding to this alone on my own with nobody to process it with. You know, I think part of our job as parents is to is to, yes, we cultivate a life for them, you know, and we protect them from things. But then there comes a point where you're like, you know what, maybe we can grab something from this. Maybe we can enjoy this together, you know, or whatever. Again, it goes back to that shared experience we talked about with Labo. And maybe I'm totally off base with that, and I'm, you know, wading too far into dad's territory tonight, you know, parenting dads, but
dad,
you know,
there's
things that, you know, I might not let my son play right now, but one of these days, you know, he'll be able to make his own choices, and it's my job to instill those values in him that I would like for him to have. I just had this conversation not long ago. It was actually tonight with some people we were having dinner with, and we were talking about how parenting has changed. And I'll be very brief in this, but that, you know, we as parents, part of our job is not just to like protect kids for a certain period of time until they leave the nest or whatever. Part of our job is to continue to pass down the values that were passed down to us. And I fear that in a lot of ways that's not happening as much as it used to, because we've introduced the ultimate element of choice in every situation, and it begins so early. Do you want the red cup or do you want the blue cup? Do you want Cheerios or do you want Frosted Flakes? Do you want, you know, to go to bed or do you want to do this? You know, in my house, and for as long as we've had kids, they didn't get to decide if they wanted to take a bath. They were taking a bath. They didn't get to decide, do you want to go to bed? No, it's bedtime. Why? Because I'm dad, you know? And as ideally, we do that now so that as they get older, we can relax some of that, right? And we can allow them to begin to make their own choices. Mm-hmm. And I think exactly. That maybe what we've done is we've started allowing kids to make their own choices way too early. You know, and I'm not going to even get into the whole, you know, what kids should and shouldn't be playing. I'm just talking about choice wise. And they're not prepared to make good informed choices yet. And that's why we do need things like this to protect them and to kind of shepherd them along the way. If that makes sense.
Totally.
Kind of trying to route back to our original topic here.
Yeah. And of course, every family has different backgrounds and different ideas of what is acceptable, what isn't acceptable. In my case, you know, I was okay with violence. I didn't really, because, you know, kids have seen movies. Kids have, you know, I didn't have a problem with language as much. It was like the sex and nudity that I was like, no, you don't mm-hmm. need any of that. So I was okay with them playing Call of Duty with the, what's that one hacking game? That's, I don't know. I don't remember, but it was a similar type of open world driving game where you can hack things. I was okay with them playing that, but I told them I am not ever buying you a GTA game. You can own GTA when you are old enough to buy it yourself. And so far,
and that you know, qualify for the ranking, like that you could buy it yourself, sort of thing.
Yeah. Because like I had to go to. When the latest Call of Duty game came out, he wasn't 17 yet. I had to be there for him to buy it. Mm-hmm. Even though it was his transaction and his money, I still had to be there to say, yes, you can do this.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not doing that for GTA. So, you know, so right now, my oldest two both own their own copy of the game, and they paid for it themselves, and they waited until they were 17 to do it.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I would add to that, too, is and I think it's probably in danger of sounding repetitive. I think Marty, what you were saying with the choice, right, and like whether or not you have choice or not. I think what we do is, I think there's not necessarily anything wrong with presenting, like allowing children to feel comfortable making choices or asserting maybe what they want in situations, but also. I feel like at the same time needing to be able to be there and being a sort of guiding influence in everything. I think there was a great article that I read when I was still in doing my graduate work, and they were talking about parents being instead of being jailers or things like that. They really related parents as being crossing guards, right? So like instead of saying, oh, well, you have to do this or you have to do that or you have to do that, instead saying, here is a situation. I am going to help you navigate this situation. And I'm going to have you be as independent as possible without putting you in harm's way. A crossing guard still is a very active participant in a person crossing the road, right? But they are not the person who is, they're not carrying the child across the road. And again, I think that figuring out where is that child developmentally along the way, providing as much independence as possible for them to be able to figure out who am I, how do I navigate the world, all those sorts of things, but also us saying, oh, there's a pothole there, be careful, right? And like all of those things, so that we have all of this experience and we have all of the, you know, all of the things that are important to us and the things that we know are important in living a happy, healthy life. Our job is to help them understand those things so that they can do it themselves as well, and helping them build up to that point. So huge discussion coming from that. So anyway,
Watch Dogs was the game I was trying to think of earlier.
There you go.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mystery Solve, huge thanks to Reagan Watchman for sending in that question.
There you go.
We appreciate it, especially questions like this that send us off into great discussion. We need more of those.
Yeah. Of course, once again, if you guys want to email us, nintendodads@gmail.com, you can get us on all sorts of crazy stuff talking about all this business. So huge thanks once again. All right, gents. Well, that's a show. Do we have anything as we kind of wrap up here and I pull up the music? Marty, what do we got?
Yeah, so Retro Rewind, recording next week for Metroid Prime.
For real this time.
We're hoping to have a special guest joining us for that show. And if you want to follow along with our next Retro Rewind, you need to be playing Final Fantasy III, which is also Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo, if you're keeping track there. It's available on the Super Nintendo Virtual Console on Wii U.
Is it?
I believe it is.
I don't think it's on Wii U, but it is on the Wii.
It's on the Wii, but that's shutting down very soon. So if you want to get a copy of that.
It's also on the Super Nintendo Classic.
You need to do that. It's also on the Super Nintendo Classic. You can also find it on the Nintendo DS. So it's out there. It may not be available much longer. You can play along with us, or if you're not going to play along with us, at least watch some walkthroughs. And so you can know what's going on. Final Fantasy III is probably top three role-playing games for me of all time. So I'm excited to get to do this one. And we're actually going to make it our January and our February Retro Rewind this year so that we have adequate time to put a good dent into it or even finish it. And as Jesse said before, it's not one of those hugely long, laborious JRPGs that's out there. It's actually somewhere around, what'd you say, like 30 to 40 hours?
Yeah, 35-ish.
Yeah, so it's totally feasible for you to do this sometime within the next month or so. And so we'll be letting you know when we're going to record that episode very, very soon. Also, if you've made it this far in the show, congratulations. You've just found out we're going to be giving away a prize here in a little bit. We're not sure how we're going to do it, but we're going to be giving away a brand spanking new set of pink and green Joy-Cons to one lucky listener.
What?
You heard it here first.
Do I count as a listener? Do I count? No, I'm just kidding.
Unfortunately, hosts cannot participate in the giveaway.
No, it's okay. That's fine.
So yeah, we're going to give those away here sometime soon. And so thanks for listening and just watch our Twitter.
Yeah.
Watch our social media. We'll let you know how to get in for that contest.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, with that, let's get the music started here. Huge thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening to the show this week. Of course, every week, you guys are amazing. People who are, you know, you're just awesome. So thank you so much for being here and listening to the show. If you want to follow us on all of the social media you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. If you want to email us, you can do so at NintendoDads@gmail.com. Twitch or YouTube is where you can find our videos of our faces and games. Just look for NintendoDads. You'll find us. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard from Megadads for their amazing artwork. And of course, if you want to change the world, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe, go over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com for me, for Justin, for Jesse, and for Marty. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Listening into NintendoDads.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.